It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 23, and we've gotten down to the 20th verse, but we're going to begin reading with verse 15. And so Matthew chapter 23, verse 15 is where we're going to start reading. So please open your Bibles to that area of the Scripture so we can enjoy the study today. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, it's 217-847-2717. And then if you would like to check out our website, I'd love for you to do that. We've got many studies there, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. And now that we can prepare for the study, please open your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, beginning to read with verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass the sea and the land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Woe unto ye, blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereupon. Whosoever shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithes of mite and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. We're going to end with the reading there of the 26th verse. Begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have this wonderful opportunity to study your word and to fellowship over it. We just ask that you would guide and lead us, Father. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit, that he will direct us, teach us. Each one of us that know you as our Lord and Savior have that wonderful teacher within our hearts to guide and lead us through your precious word. Father, we know that if we fail to be born again, if we ignore, if we reject the opportunity of salvation when the Holy Spirit comes knocking on a person's heart's door and you say no, I'm a member of a church, I have these things, I don't need anything more. We know that we will fail and we will spend eternity in the lake of fire. We will miss the opportunity of having wonderful fellowship and power and strength that you have to offer us. And so please that you would guide and lead us. Give us your wisdom. Touch the hearts of those that are lost, that do not know you as their Savior, and bring them to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. Please, Father, guide and lead us now through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have spent time and enjoyed the study of these woes, because it sure applies to us today as we examine our hearts and examine many churches and places of what we call places of worship, because this applies to everybody. We just need to see that we are very aware of what's important. And so when we started clear up here in verse 15, why we find that to bring somebody into another religion without bringing them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it makes that person worse, because then they just have a mixture of two religions. And we need to see that we understand that we're saved by grace and grace alone, not by belonging to a certain church or by doing certain things like taking the Lord's Supper. I love in having communion and having the Lord's Supper, but it is an example of what's happened in my heart. It's not something I do for my salvation. Baptism. Baptism is wonderful, especially immersion. Sprinkling is something that has come out of Catholicism years ago. The only physical baptism is immersion, is to go down into the water and come back up. But it does not save you. Baptism is very important. But we need to realize and understand that to be immersed and come back up out of the water pictures, again, the death and then the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the life that has taken you over when you said yes to Jesus. I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. Please save me. And when you are born again, then is when you follow in baptism, not as an infant, not before that time. And so that's very important that you understand that none of that is set upon our salvation. It's not set upon our works. It's set upon God's precious grace. And so when someone would bring, you know, take them out of a certain church and put them in another church, but they neglect bringing them to Jesus, then that is what this is concerned about. And so, and it, again, just makes you worse if you're one of those individuals that have done that, and yet you still don't know Jesus. And then in verse 16, woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple. And that's kind of where we were found ourselves last time we were together a couple weeks ago. And so we need to take a look at this. Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things. So we need to get things in perspective here. It speaks of the gold. They don't care about the temple that God dwells in. And so we need to be concerned about the one that is dwelling in the temple, not the gold that the temple was built with. We need to see that we also, as it comes here, whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is up on the altar. So when you bring, in their case, the offerings of the bullock, the dove, whatever condition financially you're in for you to bring, when you bring that, you are thinking that it is of value. It is of no value. The importance and the value here is the one that is at the altar, and that is the presence of God. You should come to worship Him and praise Him, not thinking that the gift you're bringing is of some power. Verse 19, ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Now to verse 20, whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And in other words, the presence of God. And then verse 21, whosoever shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. So now we're back to who is important. Our God is important. The Lord Jesus is our Savior. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes to live within our hearts. There is the importance. There is the Trinity that we need to think on and look at. And so, don't put the creature above the Creator. And if we could go back here to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 13. Deuteronomy 6:13. And again, if you don't have time or don't have the opportunity, just make a little note of this verse of Scripture. Deuteronomy 6:13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. God's a jealous God. Don't be praising and worshiping and putting something, anything, any person above God. He must be and needs to be the most important in your life. And so please take that and keep that to mind. The oath did not rest on the building, but upon the one in the building, the Most High God. That's what we need to focus on. A couple more verses of Scripture, both in the Old Testament. First Kings chapter 8. First Kings chapter 8. You can hear me turning the pages as well. And again, I hope that's enough time. And if it isn't, just make a note so that you can look it up later. First Kings chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. There is the reason, not the gold of it, not the altar itself, but the one that is in the midst, the one that gave the plans to it, the one that created all the world, that spoke into existence everything. He is the one that we need to praise and worship. On to Psalms, Psalms 80. These are all Old Testament scriptures that we enjoy. Psalms 80. Verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Now, if you don't have any understanding of the Old Testament, if you have never studied the tabernacle, I'll give you just a very brief lesson here. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai, most folks understand that he received the Ten Commandments, the law. But he also received the plans to a tent-like building, the tabernacle. He received them at the same time. You see, it's a very simple thought here, because the law that God gave Moses kills. The tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, the place where you could bring your offering and sacrifice, saying, I am sorry for my sin, and please save me, was the tabernacle. So death came by the law, but salvation came through the tabernacle. Now, as you come through the courtyard of the tabernacle, you have first a brazen altar. That's where the sacrifices were brought to and given. And then the brazen laver. That's where the priests washed their hands and their feet after their work at the altar. Then they would go into the holy place, the first room. In there we have the lampstand, table of showbread, and incense altar. Table of showbread had 12 loaves of bread upon it for the nourishment of the priests. And then we go just beyond where the incense altar is found. And the incense, as it would come forth, would flow into the next room. This building is not very big. It's a total of 45 foot long, 15 foot wide, and 15 foot tall. And as you come into the first room that we mentioned, the lampstand, table of showbread, incense altar, then there is a veil. And that veil, as you would go through it, which no one could except for the high priest on the Day of Atonement. And when the high priest would go through that veil, he could not enter except he had the blood. In the case of the Day of Atonement, it would be the blood from a bullock for himself, and then he would return again with the blood from the goat, and one live, one was put to death. And he would come in and he would sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. That's what made it a mercy seat. It was a Ark of the Covenant, had the a slab of gold upon it, and had two cherubims, one on each end of this gold slab. And you would sprinkle the blood on this gold slab, and that's what made it a mercy seat. And here in Psalms 80, verse 1, is where we find God, between the cherubims, in the Holy of Holies. So I hope that helped you, and that's where God met with the children of Israel as they traveled through the wilderness, and then found their way into the Promised Land, and then eventually Solomon, for David, for his dad, his father, built a temple, and God's presence with a Shekinah glory cloud at day and a wall of fire, a pillar of fire by night, showed the presence of Almighty God. So we find here that's what David is talking about here. Give ear, O shepherds of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. We want your presence and power. So that hopefully helps you a little bit to understand what that verse of Scripture means. If you've never studied the tabernacle, it's a tremendous study. It is wonderful, and I hope that you do. Psalms 99, verse 1, I hope that you stayed there. Once again, the Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. Wonderful. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Beautiful verses of Scripture back in the Old Testament. And so as we return now back to Matthew chapter 23, they have left the one that we have read about back in Deuteronomy and, and Kings and Psalms, the very one that we are to praise, the very one that we're to worship. They have left him, and they have begun to worship the building, the things in the building, and they found that it was more important to them. And so we find now here in verse 22 of Matthew 23, "He that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon." If you're going to make an oath, and you better mean it, that's the only one. But it is a commitment. It's not something light. Let's go back once again to Isaiah. So we've been Deuteronomy and Kings and Psalms, and now to Isaiah very quickly, 66. Isaiah 66. Very last book of Isaiah. And again, verse 1. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that he built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made. All those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Please, that we find the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. We know who to praise. If we return now back to Matthew and go back to the fifth chapter, because long time ago when we studied this, there were some things here that we need to really understand. Matthew chapter 5, verse 34. Now listen to this. Jesus said, "I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool." That's the reason we went back to Isaiah. "Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your conversation be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." In other words, please, if you're going to give somebody your word, see that it's good. You don't need to come, and when you're swearing by God, by as it mentions here, that's very serious. But also, your word should be true. We don't need to swear. What is that? Your word needs to be good. See that it is. See that it is. Back now to Matthew 23, verse 23. The next woe. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe and mite and anise and cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, as of judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the others undone." And then it kind of finishes this off. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Our Lord Jesus makes a point. Jesus here points out the greater attention given to minor things, and yet totally and completely neglecting the great things, the important things. The Pharisees were very good about paying their tithes. Back in Luke 18, if you turn there with me, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusteth in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up unto the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as others are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as these publican, this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Who was more important? Who was more important? The publican, not the Pharisee. I give tithes, I fast twice a week, I give tithes to all my possessions. He does all these things, but his heart is still wicked. As we come back to Matthew here, let's just quickly look at what these things, the minor things, this mind is a garden herb. It's an odor or a flavor. It's actually used to put upon the floors of your home, or and also in the synagogue, to produce a very pleasant aroma, a pleasant odor. Anise, that's like dill. It's used for seasoning. And the cumin is the same. It's just a spice. And all were little value. Yet the Pharisees and the scribes, they took such effort to see that they tithed every leaf, every particle, that it was tithed properly, and yet they omitted the weightier matters, as the scripture calls it here. They omitted the weightier matters of the law, a judgment, mercy, and faith. The law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Jesus wasn't criticizing them for tithing, because that was the law. However, they were so concerned about those things, and their heart was wicked. Their heart was not right with God. They had their eyes on things external, outside, and they were ignoring the things inside their heart for themselves and for others. And today we have the same. The care is to the for the body. What about the soul? What about the soul? I want you to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. I want you to be born again. please come by faith to Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?